Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
You're listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby.
Eddie Jacobs.
And this is the H&J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. We had a returning guest, Matt Ford, comedian, impressionist, and a former political worker, as he describes in his book, joined us, didn't he?
He was on good form. We had about three little chats, a bit about football, a bit about various other things, and Don't Ask Me.
Don't Ask Me, very exciting Don't Ask Me today. So here it all is. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Andy.
Oh, good afternoon, Paul. And I was going to do a long thing about how David Moyes' football is really dull and I don't really like it. And then we played the way we played. I can't say anything. That was one of the worst. My son says to me, this is the worst game ever played on British soil.
I think that's probably pushing it a bit.
I don't know. I couldn't disagree with him. It was absolute stinker, wasn't it? Two managers who basically didn't really want to lose. Two teams that didn't want to lose. It was a poor, poor game. And, you know, that's my second 0-0 in a row. To be honest, I prefer the 3-3s.
Oh, do you?
Well, you know, Mendy was a good thing. That was a good thing.
I didn't prefer 3-3s last weekend, I've got to be honest.
Not that Chelsea particularly deserved to win, but that, honestly, there isn't anybody in Britain that doesn't think that was a penalty except Atwell. I mean, I find it amazing that the previous week, Atwell's refereeing and he gives a really soft penalty for a foul by Lamptey that wasn't really...
On Batshuayi. Oh, yeah, I've fallen.
I've just touched his shoulder.
One of those.
So obviously he sees this week and he thinks he's obviously had criticism for doing that. So he doesn't do anything. He doesn't say to Atkinson, go and look at it. I imagine that Atkinson gets home and watches Match of the Day. Does he ring up Atwell and say, what on earth are you doing? Yeah. Why don't you let me go and look at the screen?
It's
pathetic.
It was a headlock, wasn't it, really?
Oh, God, it was a
proper
penalty.
Old school WWE.
I mean, Frank Lampard isn't one for going in, you know, for doing this, but even he said that was a penalty.
Yeah.
It was poor.
No,
really.
I mean, I as a neutral, I felt it was a pen as well. But we're going to talk about this. It's this clear and obvious thing. So we'll talk to former referee Mark Halsey later on.
My view is they hide behind it.
Yeah, I think you've got a point. It allows you to sort of walk away from situations, this clear and obvious call. But anyway, we'll have a look at that later on. We learned a very interesting fact about David Moyes this weekend.
Yes, what was that?
David Moyes loves something in the food cabinet. I'll give you three guesses. Have a look at David Moyes. And what do you think he's got a bit of a penchant for that you might find in your kitchen cabinets?
Could be anything.
Well, I know it could be, but just think of the man. Think of what you think he'd like. I mean,
some cheese-based item. Incredibly dull, isn't it? Really, you get no pleasure out of eating.
No, it's not. Some cheese-based. I'd like you to be a bit more specific.
I don't know. It could be anything.
You're going to know it, can,
Camembert.
Andy. No, it's not camembert, Andy.
Okay.
Have another guess. Anything in the cabinets he's got a bit of a soft spot for?
Kraft cheese slices.
It's not cheese. Now, let me just tell you, it's not. You move away from cheese. Move off of cheese.
Haggis.
Now, see, that's a cheap shot, and it's too obvious. Haggis. Well, it's custard.
Custard.
David Moyes confessed... I really love custard. I just love it, he said. This was because when he was in isolation, he got a bit of a red cross.
You like it thick and stodgy that you can't get through it.
So you're still keeping with the analogy, even though it's custard.
I owe him a few for those terrible afternoons at the Bridge when Everton came there and were absolutely dreadful but went away with the points.
Always beat you. See, you're not a bitter man at all. No. But yeah, so next time you see David Moyes, a little bit of custard ready for him. He's a big fan.
One of my favourite moments of the weekend was a tweet from Monty Panesar.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, the former left-arm spinner, who now has his own kind of YouTube Twitter channel or something like that. And he says, we had an American journalist. He tweeted Donald Trump. He said, we had an American journalist on my show. He believes you would win. Would you be available for an interview when you win? I think to myself, that's the first thing he's not going to want to do, really, is going to be interviewed by Monty Panesar.
My great friend. We'll get Matt Ford later on to say, my great friend, the bowler, Monty Panesar.
Honestly.
Andy, we're going to ask the listeners a question this afternoon. Oh, yeah. Have you ever used a piece of sporting equipment for something that wasn't sport? So that could be anything, any item of sporting equipment that you found a use for that wasn't sporting. Because Ian Carter, not that one, but from Lytham St Anne's in Lancashire, wrote to The Telegraph. And he's been suffering from scam phone calls.
Oh, yeah, a lot of people do, yeah.
And he said, I too suffer from scam phone calls. What I do is I keep a referee's whistle by the phone.
Oh, that's a very good idea.
Wait till the scammer gets into their stride, probably a point where they're saying, I understand you've had an accident that wasn't your fault.
Yeah.
And then give them a blast, says Ian. I don't know if he gives them a quick peep, like he's a free kick, or whether he gives them the full time.
Really.
It is fairly childish.
Yeah.
But it did strike me that we could ask the listeners if they ever used an item of sporting equipment not for its intended purpose, within reason, of course. Talksport.com/H&J, text to 81089 or tweet to TSHNJ.
And, of course, we've been watching sport all weekend, mostly, almost 90%, say, without any fans at all.
Yeah.
But I happened to be flicking through the channels on Saturday afternoon waiting for El Clasico, and I came across a live game from China. I think it was a semi-final.
All right.
Oh, full crowd there. Don't worry about it. It's marvellous, isn't it?
Yeah.
No masks. Thanks. Full crowd. Chongqing, by the way, have a player called Alan Carr. Not that one.
Really?
Whereas the GAA, Gaelic sports, resumed with a reduced playoffs. It's just all going to be held in 3 weeks. But no fans. I was thinking they should move it to Shanghai, hold it there.
Really?
The players had to travel in their own cars to Croke Park.
Yeah, I know.
Amazing.
I think that's been happening quite a lot. Some teams have been doing that.
Yeah, I think most football teams are going by coach.
I'll tell you, one of the other things that's happening is the way that teams and players are feeding off of the perceived slight of having to change in reduced circumstances because of COVID.
Oh, yeah.
You can't use
the
dressing room.
Last week.
Southampton last week had to change, go up two flights of stairs and change in a gym.
They are quite fit. I think they can manage it.
But that got the boys fired up. That was Ralph's team talk, apparently. This week...
it's so funny, football. If Kepa hadn't played in that game, if Mendy had played in that game, Chelsea would have won easily. Absolutely easily. It's incredible how it all gets rewritten about being about two sets of flights of steps.
Well, it wasn't major. They didn't major on the two... there's two flights of steps. It was mentioned in passing.
I played well yesterday, though.
But other teams are feeding off of it. There was a story today involving Gillingham and Fleetwood. And same sort of thing had gone on there. Fleetwood Town player said they were motivated by having to change in the club shop, in the Gillingham club shop. That's probably pushing it a bit, isn't it? Not like two flights of stairs. Imagine you're leaning on one of the racks that's covered in Gillingham shirts.
They've probably got dressing rooms, changing rooms.
Well, yeah, but no, that's the whole point. You know, you've got overspill. You can't be in the small dressing room. You've got to socially distance. So, I don't know how they did it. But anyway, they did. They had to go and get changed. And they couldn't shower in there, of course. Well, because it's a shop, you wouldn't expect a fully working set of showers in the club shop,
that's
would
true,
you?
Yeah.
But teams are feeding off of it, so watch out, managers, where you're getting teams to change at the moment. Recently, had a problem with squirrels digging holes in my lawn, says one of the listeners, leaving holes like pitch marks. So I use my putter and pitch mark repairer to repair and tap down the holes. I think my neighbour thought I was going mad.
That's all right.
No name on that, sadly. Another another one without a name. I use an ice hockey stick to prop my chicken shed door open. This is this is good stuff, isn't it?
It's all good, yeah.
This is what they want. Talksport.com, text 81089, tweet TSHNJ to tell us items of sporting equipment you've used not for the intended purpose.
That's why I use my goalie's glove to get stuff out of the oven, says Lewis. That's probably quite dangerous.
Yeah, you don't want it to sort of melt on, do you?
No, not
but
really.
But a big pair of old Roish goalie gloves to present the Sunday roast with. Thank you, Lewis, for that. Yeah, I'm currently using the stumps from the kids' cricket set to mark out a square in the garden to dig out my new shed base, says Ian.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Hawksby and Jacobs here on Talk Sport. Joining us now to chat about his new book, someone we've spoken to quite a lot over the last couple of, well, a couple of times, certainly. He's not on every week, but he's been on a few times. And we're always delighted when he is. Comedian, you're currently
he's
hearing
been on more than a couple of times.
Well, no, I mean in recent months.
Oh, sorry,
I don't mean ever, Andy. I wish I hadn't gone down this avenue now. His new book is called Politically Homeless. It's Matt Ford. Good afternoon, Matt.
Good evening. I hope I'm not becoming a problem.
Yeah, you are.
No,
I mean,
no,
I just a cease and desist letter on its way from my solicitors. But it's great fun, the book, and it's obviously a serious side to it as well. But it's you kind of telling your story of somebody who was very politically engaged. I'm sure a lot of people can relate to this. You know, you support a party, you're wholeheartedly committed to it, you work for it, first voluntarily and sort of then for a living. And then, you know, things change as they can do in political parties and you don't feel like it's your home anymore.
No, that's very true. I got into politics like I got into football at a young age. You know, I just became totally obsessed with it and really threw myself into it. And it was the Labour Party for me and I'm a Forest fan. So those things were kind of running together in my life the whole time.
Hmm.
And I ended up working for the party towards the end of the Blair era and when Gordon Brown took over. And then in the years that followed, ended up drifting further and further away from it. And then in the last 10 years, definitely the last five, I just found it unbearable. And it was a strange place to be. And it would be like not supporting your football team anymore. You know, I was defined by the fact that I was a Labour member. It was a big part of who I am. It felt really strange for, you know, the last two general elections, I haven't been able to vote for them. So it was a really odd, I thought it was just such an odd tale. And I think in a weird way, it's kind of, you know, the book's a bit like fever pitch for politics, really. Mm. It's a story of obsession and of fandom. But then it all went to hell, sadly. So I'm kind of left in limbo now.
Yeah. Much like football, you can't just go and support somebody. Well, I suppose you can, but you can't find it in your heart just to go off and support somebody else instead.
People do change, don't they? More than they think.
Yeah,
maybe in
politics more than they do in football, Matt, actually.
Oh, I do. I think so. Yeah. And, you know, the data shows you that, you know, back in the old days, working class people voted Labour and middle class people voted Tory. And that thing, that's just completely changed. And if you look where the Tories won at the last election, they're winning in places they'd never been able to win before. And Labour's vote is becoming more middle class and more university educated. There's these huge social changes that run underneath it. But for me, I'm a fairly moderate chap around the centre left. I don't think that the private sector is all bad. I don't want the state to run everything. I think that's where most people are. They care about the NHS. They care about our schools, but they want certain amounts of individual freedom. And I thought the last election, really, the two major parties had completely deserted that middle ground. And I know my story is one of falling out of love with the Labour Party, but I have friends who were Tories who felt exactly the same way. You know, at the last election, you had Tory MPs who didn't want to be in the Tory party anymore. So it was, I think the last few years on left and right, there's been a real breakdown in the relationships between the two major parties and their supporters. And it's a very strange time, but I did try and make the book as funny as possible.
Yeah.
So I know it's quite a bleak backdrop, but there's a couple of rude jokes in there.
Yeah, this you dress as a chicken. Chasing politicians around the street. That's very good.
Oh, man. But that's like a rite of passage in British politics, isn't it? For a political leader to be chased by a chicken shows you've arrived. But, I mean, I sweat a lot at the best of times. These were like doing by-elections in the heat. You can't see out of those chicken masks. No one tells you this. You having to look out the nostril of a rubber mask. Oh, I was all over the place. I probably looked drunk.
Do you think it's easier to write a book like this, though? Because, you know, if you position yourself on the right, you know, it's not as attractive, is it? I mean, the things you stand for really are hard to disagree. Better society, fairer society. I think most people would agree with that.
I think so. And a lot of your listeners listening who may vote Conservative or consider themselves on the right would say that they agree with that as well. You know, it's the way we categorise these things sometimes is, you know, we use shorthand and it makes sense. But I think one of the things that I tried to say in the book as well is that this idea that left-wing people are morally superior to right-wing people is not something I ever really agreed with. And my experience sometimes, certainly dealing with... You know, I had a brief spell in the Socialist Worker Party for about a fortnight when I was about 14, and it didn't last for a number of reasons. But, you know, Tories don't see themselves as bad people. So, you know, they would say, well, I agree with that. It's just that their version of fairness is perhaps different to mine and maybe different to yours or maybe not. So no one thinks they're voting from a position of malice, if you know what I mean. Mm. I just think the way that we think about politics is often that, oh, Labour are a bit nicer. And I think, for me, Corbyn kind of disproved that as a theory.
So on the funny side, there was a really funny bit about spot ballot papers and when you were there trying to get returning officers on side with spot papers and trying to make the, you know, say, well, this kind of is a vote for us if you look at it. I mean, sadly, we can't use the language involved because when people spoil a ballot paper, sometimes it gets a bit lively. But I love the idea that you would sit in front of a returning officer and say, well, that drawing of, you know, an appendage is actually generally in the box for the Labour candidate, so that should be one of ours.
Yeah, I tried that at a count for the Nottingham City elections years ago. Well, I was just sent down there as the agent on the night. I hadn't been involved in the campaign at all, but they just needed someone there. You know, if it's close, you say we need a recount. And what people don't realise is if you spoil a ballot paper, the agents of the parties and usually the candidates will see it because you all have to agree that it's spoiled, because someone might say, well, actually, so I think I've used an example in the book. At the last election, there was someone in Brighton had written beside each candidate a particular insult. So let's say idiot. So they've written idiot, idiot, idiot. And then by the Green candidate, they'd written not an idiot. And that did get counted as a vote.
Did it?
Yeah.
Incredible.
And it was a worse word as well. It was like...
Yeah, exactly.
But I did. I did try to make the case that, and I was kind of only half joking, but if they'd have let me have it, that a drawing of a part of the male anatomy was perhaps pointing in a particular direction that favoured a candidate.
We should have mentioned,
and I didn't get very far.
We should mention spitting image too quickly, because I've seen three of them. It's fun, and although it's on, been on BritBox this week, it's going to actually be on ITV, isn't it? So a lot more people will get the opportunity to see it, I think.
That's right. Saturday night, it's a US election special on ITV, which is really exciting that so many people are going to be able to watch it. I mean, whenever these clips are put online, they get millions of views really quickly. So there's a huge public appetite to see it. But, you know, to be from inner city Nottingham and end up impersonating the President of the United States is just a bizarre thing for me to be doing. But it's a great, great honor to be doing it. And with you guys as well, I know that Huckabee and Jukebs, you're great, great guys. And I love you both. You're my favourite Irish presenters. I love listening to you when I'm over in Wales.
I mean, this is the thing, is it? As Mike Yarwood used to find over the years, as these politicians drift out, do you want him to win secretly, Matt? You thinking it's just... I mean, he's not the sort of bloke who's going to disappear from the public eye, whatever happens.
Well, you know what? That's what I tell myself, is that I obviously don't want him to win because I care about this sort of thing. But then at the back of my mind, I think, I'd be a shame if I have to stop doing him. But then I think he's probably going to dispute it. This thing may go on and on. And as you say, he's not just going to retire away.
No.
You know, he's still going to be a big figure. So there's still plenty of fun left. But obviously what is so funny about him, and this is where tragedy is part of the comedy, is it is insane that he's the leader. And that's what makes it funny. You know, had he lost, it's not as funny. Yeah. It's only funny that he's in charge, and that's where the comedy is contained. Is that this unhinged individual actually won, and then that's what's so mad about it. You go, in a way, it's hard not to find it funny.
Yeah, a quick one on Forrest. Chris doing all right for you, isn't he? Made a solid start.
Yes, and I think we're playing better as well. You know, I mean, not that I understand tactics or anything like that, but the performances under Sabri towards the end were negative, and they were hard to watch. It wasn't entertaining. But already, Chris Hooton, obviously, is, you know, one win and two draws, and maybe we were slightly unlucky not to get something out of the Derby game. But already, I think we're playing better. And Knockhart, when he came on against Derby, looked absolutely superb. And Lyle Taylor scored. You know, Freeman looks really good. So I think they've made some really good signings. But it's just that, you know, how many times have I been on here talking about, is this going to be Forest season? Oh, it seems to be going all right with this new manager, you know, so... Oh, we'll man. See. I just don't dare dream. And I think we said this at the end of last season. I can't, you know, that it's just always there niggling away at the back of the mind.
Just very quickly, you do make mention of your time presenting on TalkSport in the book. And Mark's been in touch. He said there was an old clip with Matt. Could you dig it out when he was in the studio presenting overnight? So I don't know if you remember this moment. Matt, have a listen.
There are some who think that if government control it, you won't have a free press. There has never, ever been a free press in any country in the world. In communist countries, they were controlled by government, and in capitalist countries, they've been controlled by the plutocrats. There's never, ever been a free press for the people. Ever. You don't agree, Matt?
Jimmy. Oh, sorry about that, Jimmy. I fell off my chair.
Oh, man. The overnight shift on any radio station is tough going. Yeah. And I was just sort of leaning back as far as I could on one of those chairs in the studio that absolutely stacked it. But I love the fact that he just carries on. Oh, the
he sees it as a sign you don't think he's talking sense. That's great.
Oh,
yeah.
I mean, that could have been a lot worse, but I properly stacked it. But you would get, you know, doing the overnights on any radio station, you have to find ways to entertain yourself beyond the people you're talking to.
Well, Matt, we wish you well with the book. Good to talk to you as always.
We'll
catch up
with
you soon.
Thank you both. It's always a pleasure. Thank you.
All the best. Matt Ford's book, Politically Homeless, published by Quirkus, out in Harvard.
Martin Keller wouldn't survive that.
Yeah, I don't think so. Do for him. Hawksby and Jacobs here on TalkSport.
The Hawksby and Jacobs daily podcast from TalkSport.
It's Deirdre. You know Deirdre from Dear Deirdre?
Oh, yeah, Deirdre from Dear Deirdre.
I think it's
her
40th anniversary of being on The Sun. And they published some of this. I picked out a couple of football-based ones.
This was good.
Dear Deirdre, my boyfriend's only real passion in life is football. When we were making love the other night, he suddenly remembered he was missing a game and switched on the telly. Then he made me move so he could see the match and still make love to me. At that point, I simply gave up. I don't blame you.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, I can understand why that might be an issue.
Dedicated to football.
Yeah.
Another one was very similar, but basically the woman was in love with David Beckham.
So. Okay. Oh, that's and didn't go down well with the bloke?
Not really, no.
Okay, fair enough. You've also been telling us this afternoon about sporting items you've used for non-sporting purposes because Ian Carter from Lytham wrote to the Telegraph. We told you earlier on, he said, I'm suffering from scam phone calls, so I keep a referee's whistle by the phone. Wait till the scammer gets into their stride, then I give them a blast.
Oh, okay.
So you've been telling us about some of the sporting items you're using for non-sporting purposes. I wedge my baseball bat across my loft hatch to prevent my loft ladder from falling down. Says what the Louisville Slugger was designed for, most certainly, Paul. Yes. Thank you very much. I have a cricket bat in my house, which is used anytime something's dropped behind the cooker, says Leeds fan Bielsa Ball. During lockdown, says Roast Parsnip, probably not his real name, I made a mini bean rack for my mum using fishing rods. Worked a treat. This is from Mark in Manchester.
A
mini bean rack, yeah. It's a rack for the beans, I'm guessing.
It's a rack for beans.
Well, I don't mean baked beans in tins. I imagine it's ones in the garden.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, you're with us? Yeah. It's
I am now, yeah.
Yeah, okay. That's good.
Beans are growing beans.
Yeah, growing beans. You're not baked
storing
beans. You don't use a cricket bat to store tins of beans on there. No. My dad used the fat end of my snooker cue to paint the living room ceiling. I bet he made a lovely job of that. He gaffer-taped the roller to it. Oh, okay.
Yeah, fair enough.
To negate the need for a set of steps, says Mark. That's actually... That works quite well. I thought he was actually painting with the butt end of a cue. And this is nice.
Little marks of blue chalk.
Yeah. I use a British Horse Racing Authority approved whip to get the TV remote from the floor between the sofa and the wall in my lounge. If I knock it off when dozing in the evening, it also gets other items, pens, etc., from under the sofa. But don't overuse it, Dave, because we don't want you in front of the stewards for excessive use of the whip, do we? Hawksby and Jacobs here on TalkSport. Keep them coming. Sporting items that you used in a non-sporting way.
The Hawksby and Jacobs daily podcast from TalkSport.
A bit of housekeeping.
Yeah, go on then.
The guys at Stoke Gabriel, you know, the team that had the terrible record. Trademark Britain's Worst. worst team, etc. But there's always a reason why that happens. We spoke to the gaffer again last week and wished them luck. Well, maybe we helped because they lost, but they lost 6-0, and apparently it was a good performance.
That's a bit
so the feeling is the results are getting better, the performances are getting better, but it was still a defeat. But they're not letting in the 15s and 14s.
So hard that. Must
it
be
must
very
be difficult for a very young players, team. So yeah, we'll keep you in touch with how they're getting on.
Mylene Klass.
Oh yeah.
Apparently has a phobia of crumpets. Can you believe this? I've never heard of this one before. Because she's got a fear of crumpets due to suffering from a phobia of tiny holes. It's called tryptophobia.
Never heard of that
heard
one.
Of that? Yeah.
That's
she'd have hated the England 1970 World Cup shirt.
She would have done. That's what a lovely, beautifully brought back to
I
sport.
You'd like that.
The crumpet-like nature of the AirTech shirts worn by
I
Bobby
Charlton, etc. A Phoenix from the Flames with the late, great Brian LeBone, who played in that game, of course.
Yeah.
And he brought the shirt along.
The actual England shirt.
The actual shirt. And he, bless him, Brian, he wore it during the
for the
filming,
Phoenix.
But it was freezing. It was up in Middlesbrough somewhere, and it was absolutely freezing.
Yeah.
And he still was prepared to put it on.
But it was, you know, it was built for the heat of Guadalajara, wasn't it?
It took him hours to saw out.
And we mentioned last week, the other thing about there being no crowds there and no atmosphere, unless you go for the atmosphere on the TV coverage, is you can hear the players scream when they're fouled. And there was a game last week or the week before, and it did seem that the referee was working to the high-pitched screams. I think it was in the England, it was the Spanish ref in the England games.
Really?
Who, the louder you screamed as a Danish player, the more chance you had of getting them booked. Well, that's Mike Stowell, who's the goalkeeping coach at Leicester. He has accused Bakayo Saka of that. He says he yelped when Fofana fouled him, apparently, and he got booked. Fofana fouled him, yeah. And Stowell shouted out then, you scream and you get a yellow card. But I've not seen the tackle. I didn't watch the game live,
no,
so I've got no
idea
whether it was deserving of a card or not. But I think, you know, the referees are bound to be affected by it. If you're suddenly, you know, there's a game going and you hear a high-pitched scream, then you are going to react to it. So we'll see if that makes any difference in the games tonight. Sven, you're on Ericsson.
I remember him.
You remember him, yeah? The old England manager, He's selling 50 quid video messages, if you're interested.
Oh, for God's sake.
Yeah, he offers you COVID tips, amongst other things.
Well.
Stay well.
Stay well.
Stay well. And so he's doing that. 1 minute pep talks he'll give you as well, Sven. Which is quite nice.
If you pay 50 quid for that, you're an absolute idiot.
Okay, well, I don't think it says it on the ad, on the website.
He doesn't need the money. He's got so much money. He doesn't need the money. Honestly, these people are unbelievable.
This is what it's... The company called... If you are interested, take the notice of Uncle Andy, because if you are interested in a pep talk or COVID advice from the former England manager, although I hope it's not the advice he gave England in the second half of the Brazil game in Japan, where it all went pear-shaped.
I'll give you some advice for nothing.
Okay, memo, it's called, with two M's. Sven Göran Eriksson is one of Sweden's top football managers of all time.
Well, that's true.
Yeah. Now Svennis is on memo to give shout-outs for your birthday, pep talks,
and anyone for Svennis.
That's right. Get a personal video message from Sven Göran Eriksson today for just 50 quid. So there we are. If you're interested, I thought I'd pass that on to you.
It's ridiculous. Good news for our non-league fans. Farnborough, Andy Smart, he won 4-1. Believe it, that
all
was
right.
Tremendous. And Torquay got through that to the next round of the FA Cup. They beat the mighty Scholling, who I've never heard of.
Scholling, that's right.
Scholling,
yeah, Scholling. Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
it was, apparently, one of our lads who used to work here was playing.
Michael Kern, he's done shows here. Yeah. He's part of the playing and coaching staff at Scholling. But it's the draw this evening, I think, so after 7 o'clock, the first round proper. So a lot of excitement. Honestly. Andy, I bet you can't wait for the first round proper draw of the FA Cup. And you really?
Well,
you don't really get interested into the semi-final.
The last one. And we'll move on. Rita Ora is always in the news, and she's in every day.
Well, thanks to you, she is.
No, it's not thanks to me.
You keep the dream alive for Rita.
Honestly, she basically is an advertising hoarding. It says, Rita Ora looks utterly enchanting as she models jewellery.
Yeah.
The singer, 29, was promoting Thomas Sabo Magic Stones. Well, it wouldn't be plumbing supplies, would it?
It might be. Rita says, hang on, I'll go and get me rods. That'd be great.
Rita's rods.
I'm sorry, mate, it's backed up. I'm going to need to get me rods out the van, says Rita Ora. Ted Dexter, Andy, would have heard of, the former England cricketer.
Heard of.
And Lord Ted. He has a new book out in which there's an amazing fact that if a 6-foot putt had dropped rather than lipped out, he would have qualified for the 1978 Open.
Yes, he was a wonderful golfer.
Yeah.
He played probably one of the best test innings I've ever seen. I remember bunking. No, it wasn't bunking off. That was Connie Milburn. This was. Okay. I was at the ground.
You have a bit of a record of bunking off then.
No, not really. I was at the ground for this.
Would explain a lot.
It was against the West Indies. It was only 70. I say only 70, but it was against that great West Indies team of the mid 60s. I remember I was a kid and tremendous. It stayed with me.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Don't ask me to leave it out.
Yes, it's that time again. We asked Andy 5 questions based on last week's show. His memory is not the greatest, but I'm feeling today, Andy, this could be a good one. On Friday, we spoke to prop Eddie Batty of London Broncos. He's currently on loan at which rugby league club?
Wakefield.
He is, yeah.
They had a good win, didn't they? First win since March.
And they won at the weekend as well.
Good start. Yeah. Did they?
They did, yeah.
Brilliant.
Then on Thursday, we spoke to John Bullock from Falmouth Rugby Club. And about a 1905 All Blacks top they were selling off to improve the clubhouse. And he told us about three legendary brothers at the club that shared the same surname. What was that surname?
And it was a funny name, wasn't it? And and we had the thing with the picture. Richard Puttock. What's his name?
His name was, he was a Dick. Yeah. If that was his name, he wasn't a Richard. I'll put it that way. No?
No.
It was Dick Jacket.
Oh, Jacket.
Dick, it was the famous Jacket, the three Jacket brothers. Jackets. We spoke to the sensational...
Jacket in.
Jacket in, yeah. Sensational women's darts player on Wednesday. Can you remember her name?
Dieter Hedman.
Dieter Hedman, well done. Absolutely spot on.
Jackets.
We spoke to Tom De Ket as well, the Dutch actor-writer of which musical it is called...
14.
14, Andy. The Jackets are going to do for you. Although, would you have got this one? We spoke to a guy called Senna Caucasus. He is the CEO of a new sport. We spoke to him last Monday. What was the sport?
Oh, it's this... it's like American football without helmets.
That's right.
Pads.
Seven. I would have given that to you.
UF 7 or something. Or, yeah.
Dick Jacket and the brothers did for you, Andy.
Oh, God.
Well, that was quite exciting.
No jackets required for me.
No jackets. There we are. Okay. Exhausted those now.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
There we are. That was this afternoon's show. We're back tomorrow. Cricketer Luke Fletcher will be joining us to chat about his new book, amongst other things. And, well, that's it, really. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4pm on TalkSport.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.